The Visionary Health Podcast.
Okay, well, today we're talking about endometriosis, and we have Sarah from Miskewon Health Group with us, and also Dr. Sybil from Miskewon Health Group, who's with us in Koh Samui today. How is it there today in Koh Samui?
The weather is very nice. Thank you, Paul.
It's nice.
It's warm and hot. Yes.
You'd rather be on the beach though, right?
It's directly on the beach. So I'm looking to the blue sea here. I have a blue sky. It's very sunny.
But you'd rather be on the beach?
No, I have to work all the time.
Oh, okay.
I'd like to be on the beach. Anyway,
yeah, me too. Let's get into the topic of today. It's endometriosis.
Yes, yeah, so our topic is endometriosis today, and let's jump right in. So Dr. Sybil, we'd like to know what is endometriosis?
Okay, so let's start. What is endometriosis? Endometriosis, it's a chronic inflammatory disease. And normally when you asked about endometriosis, nobody heard about it before. It starts at the reproductive age from women, so with the puberty, when the first period starts, up to the menopause. And it's one of the most common gynecology diseases in women on the world. So only in Germany, you think it appears 40,000 cases every year. For luck, it's a benign disease, and but it's chronic, so normally it means it will not heal by itself. And endometriosis is a tissue, is similar to the mucosa in the uterus, but it grows not inside the uterus, it grows outside. So this tissue can stuck on the ovaries, on the tubes, or at the intestine wall or wall of the bladder, or to the peritoneum. It's like the inner skin from the abdominal cavity. And the tricky thing is with endometriosis, it reacts like the normal mucosa in the uterus. So it depends on estrogen, and it's growing like the mucosa with a normal cycle. So every month it's built up itself. And when no pregnancy happens, it will bleed. But otherwise, then the mucosa in the uterus, it can't drain out. So it bleeds in the body, not much, but a little bit. And it makes like a chronic infection every month. So when it becomes chronic, or when it it's a long time, you can get like scars in the body. You can get like adhesion in the body. And it also changes the composition of the peritoneal fluid in the body. It's always like a chronic infection. When you get endometriosis, yes?
Sorry, so I'm just like, I've got lots of questions already. And
okay.
Like it sounds painful. And you say that yes. It's like chronic, like inflammation that builds up over the month. And then what, does it go away or is it there all the time?
It is there all the time. And when you say it's painful, yes, it is. Or when you ask for it, because this is one of the main symptoms of endometriosis. The pain during the menstruation or short days before, and it will never go away normally. So it's a chronic disease, and it will, as still as you have a hormonal cycle as a woman in your reproductive age, it will be there, yeah, because it's nutrient by the estrogens. And sometimes it can also make cysts in the ovarian, because when it's bleeding, when this tissue not growing in the uterus, outside the uterus, in the ovarian, can bleed in the ovaries every month. And then it makes like cysts with all dark clotted blood, so it's called like chocolate cysts. You can see it also in the ultrasound.
And does that mean that it's, like you say, it's in the ovaries, does that prevent like pregnancies from happening? Is it like cause infertility?
Yes. It's one of the main reasons caused infertility. So when you have women come to the reproductive departments, 50% of them have an endometriosis. So because of the cysts, of course, the function of the ovaries is not optimum. So maybe you have no ovulation, but because of there are other different reasons, maybe because of scars in the tubes are clot. So that the oocytes can't come through. And I mentioned it already, it changes the chemical composition in the peritoneum fluid inside the body. And you need a perfect composition of liquids in your body, a chemical optimum that you can become pregnant. Yes.
Oh, wow. So it's like, is it possible to have this and not know?
Yes, it is possible.
Sorry, Sarah. I know that I'm just asking all these questions.
Go for it. I have the same question.
I've just got like floods of questions in my head and I can't get them out fast enough.
But this is a very good question. You can have it and don't know it. You can have it without any symptoms and you can have symptoms. So this is, as I said, a lot of people don't know about endometriosis, but it's so common. And the main symptoms is like having a high painful menstruation called dysmenorrhea, or having pain in the lower abdomen during your menstruation. So a lot of women who are suffering from these symptoms are not taken seriously. So everybody say maybe it's normal, you are a woman and you have cramps or pain during your menstruation. So maybe you have endometriosis and nobody diagnose it is. Or sometimes we have also women, we found endometriosis when we search for the reason why they can't get pregnant. We find endometriosis, but they have no pain or something. Yeah, so both is possible. The endometriosis has many, many different symptoms you can have, or you can have no symptoms. It's make it so so difficult to find it or diagnose it in a good way.
Right.
Is it genetic in any way? Like genetically, like if say my mother had it or something, would I have it? Or it has no effect?
No, I never heard about any really that it's a genetic. I think maybe when in your family a lot of person have endometriosis, you have think about it when you have some symptoms, yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's not from genetic side.
Okay, but what causes it? Is it just the hormone disbalance in your body is what would cause it to happen?
Honestly, we must say we don't know why it happens. There are a lot of theories about it. It could be like a hormonal disbalance. Normally, you find in these women a higher estrogen than the other ones. But one of the theories is that every menstruation you have, the blood go into the abdomen and not outside. It's called like a retrograde menstruation. Or you can have another theory is that cells like embryonal some stem cells or cells from the peritoneum changes to endometriosis tissue in lifetime by epigenetics or by mutation. Something like this could be. Or some people think it's like we have with other cells that mucosa from the uterus can go through the little vessels or the lymphatic lymphase to other areas like the ovarian or like the abdominal cavity, but at the end nobody knows, and this make it so hard to treat it because we don't know really the reason why endometriosis appears in some women and in some not.
I'm wondering when people usually find out they have endometriosis. Is it something that they find out at a young age, or when like is there something that happens? What's the
when you ask the women or when you talk about with endometriosis patient, normally they say you a long story from suffering, sometimes up to 10 years. Yeah, so of course it could start when you are young, when you start with your first menstruation. Endometriosis can appear, but the most women are diagnosed in an older age because they have the symptoms, go to a doctor, maybe say, I don't know, or yeah, just like normal. And then it takes a long time when they get diagnosed. And a lot of them are diagnosed when they are come for reproductive treatments, when they can't get pregnant and come to a reproductive department.
Sorry, is it the sort of thing that if it was diagnosed early, something could be done about it?
Yes, of course, because when you have pain every month, it really attack your whole quality of life. So when you're diagnosed with this, you can treat it. I said it's hard to treat when you don't, because we don't know why it appears. But one of the main treatments, of course, is an operation to cut this tissue who's growing outside the uterus out. And you can do something with a better hormone balance. Now there are a lot of, there are some oral contraceptives you can use to balance the female hormone cycle, that the endometriosis can't grow so much. Of course, you can just use painkillers, but synthetic painkillers, of course, are not for lifetime. So the main therapy at the moment is really to cut the endometriosis out. But sadly to say, it's always an operation need to be done.
Sorry, Sarah, again, I'm dominating the questions. Yes. Sorry, I just wanted to open it up to you. Because I've still got loads of questions. Anyway, I'll let you ask yours.
No, keep going. I was just going to go off of that. So if you said the only treatment is really the operation. If you've gone through the operation, will it return or will your symptoms improve?
Sadly, endometriosis can return all the time. You never know. When you cut it out, normally we say, okay, when you want to become pregnant, do it now. Because when you're pregnant, normally endometriosis cannot grow anymore because then the hormone status change, you know. Endometriosis need really high levels of estrogen to grow. And of course, when you just say, okay, I don't want to get pregnant, you can use hormones that changes also the hormone status in your body. So as I said, you can use an oral contraceptive to have a balance. And sometimes when you're in a high stage of endometriosis and the doctor cut everything out, you can bring the women to an artificial menopause just for a short time. You give some special hormone drugs or anti-hormone drugs that the ovarian are out of function. Of course, this has a lot of side effects, as we know from menopausal women. The bone density will go low and everything. Yeah, so this is just a short time. So at the end, you never can say you can make an operation, but it come back later. It also can come back later when you do just an hormone therapy or when you've been pregnant.
Yeah, right.
So, but when we think about that endometriosis is something, tissue is not, or it's growing on a area where it not belongs to. So normally our body has a chance to fight against all things, yeah, because we have an immune system. So when we see the body as a whole system, of course we can check if everything is in balance. So when we have an immune deficiency or low vitamins or poor diet or something, we can change it. Maybe this would be also be a way to change the way how to treat endometriosis. Because when you give your body the chance to heal itself, it's always better, as we know in everything. Yeah.
You mentioned too before about like changing hormones and having like the contraceptive pill, that sort of thing. I was just wondering if a young woman decides to start taking the pill at, I don't know, let's say, 14 or something like that, could that prevent her from finding out that she has endometriosis until much later in life, just because it changes her hormones?
That it covers it, she has endometriosis already and then she starts with oral contraceptives and then nobody knows? Or?
Yeah, I'm just wondering, like, if she may not even know she's got endometriosis and she starts on the pill and then that pill alters her hormonal levels and then she doesn't find out till much, much later in life that she's got endometriosis. And I'm just wondering if that can happen.
This could happen, of course. Normally, the endometriosis is not a disease. It could start then, or maybe it starts, we don't know. But it's a disease when you're a little bit older, like at the end of the 20s or 30s. So it's uncommon that a 14-year-old girl or 16-year-old girl had endometriosis already. But when you take this oral contraceptive, also if you have endometriosis, it destroys the endometriosis, because then you take away these high levels of estrogen. And then these little spots in the body could shrink from this endometriosis and have no food anymore from the estrogens. So maybe it could be like a therapy. Right. Also, if you don't know that you have it, yeah.
I was just very interested learning that you could, taking the pill could actually reduce the cysts and the effects of endometriosis. I didn't realize that.
Yes, it's like this, because the endometriosis needs the estrogens. Yeah. Mm-hmm. When there are no estrogens, endometriosis normally cannot grow in any way. So when you do, when you have the normal pills from today are like these combined drugs from estrogen and progesterone. So have a stable state of both hormones in your blood. That's why you can't become pregnant, because you have no ovulation and all the ripening from the oocytes is not possible like this. So this also is a weapon against endometriosis.
So if you find out about it early on, then hormonal therapy could possibly help you, and you don't have to resort it to operation.
Yes. So maybe I can tell you a little bit about how you can find it, because there is no blood test to find endometriosis. So when a woman comes to a gynecologist and said, I have so many pain when I have my menstruation, or I have pain in all my activities, then the gynecologist always have to think about endometriosis too, but it's really hard to diagnose it properly because there is no blood test. Of course, sometimes you can see an infection or something like this, but this could be related to thousands of other diseases. You can make an ultrasound from the vagina. When you have, like I talk at the beginning, the big cysts in the ovarian, then you can see it. Or sometimes you have a special form from endometriosis growing in the uterus wall, and the uterus wall is a muscle. But normally these spots on the peritoneum or the bladder wall or the intestine wall, you cannot see. You cannot see in the MRE, you cannot see in the ultrasound. Then they need to be very big, and then it's really a high stage. You can try to, with a manual examination through the vagina as a gynecologist, sometimes you can feel the scars in the pelvic. But the, to really say, okay, it is endometriosis, normally we, till now we are at this stage, we have to do a laparoscopy. This means an operation. So it's like minimal invasive. And as a doctor, you just make a little cut at the navel and then two other cuts in the lower abdomen, and you put a gas and a camera inside the abdomen cavity. And then you can do on the other little cuts equipment, and then you can check around. You just see you're not really inside the body. You are inside with your camera, and you can see as a doctor on the screen what's going on in this body of the woman. And when you find some suspect tissue, you can cut it out. It's also like a therapy, but then you can cut it out and bring it to the pathologist to examine on the under the microscope if it's endometriosis or not. And for every other thing, like ultrasound, MRE, CT, or everything, it's you hardly can't see any endometriosis.
Women don't necessarily know if they have it or not, and there's no blood test for it. So the only way to diagnose it is to go through a sort of a process of elimination with their doctor to find out exactly what it is. And then maybe it ends up they have, you know, they do these the MRIs and they do these other tests you talked about. And then they discover, yes.
Mm-hmm. So you can make it a little bit like this. When a woman comes to the doctor and talks about her suffering, about her symptoms, she thinks about of endometriosis. Of course, not every woman needs an operation now. This would be a little bit like over-diagnosed. If this is a young woman who wants to also have a contraception, you can try give her one of these birth control pills. With a special component of the progesterone inside, who really works on endometriosis therapy, you can try on her and see if her symptoms become low with the pain. Yeah, so then you know, okay, it's right what I'm doing, and I don't need another diagnosis. Or when a woman wants to become pregnant, of course, she should become pregnant soon, because then also the endometriosis will shrink because it cannot grow anymore under pregnancy. Yeah. But of course, when you're a woman and have all these symptoms, of course you need to go to a doctor and talk to him. And as a doctor, you really have to listen and not say anything is normal. You have to listen what is wrong when the pain appears. What is it pain? Because it could be pain in every activity of life, when you have sex with your partner, when you do sports, because when you have already scars inside, every movement could be painful, not only when you have your menstruation.
Okay, so it could just be a general feeling of pain every day.
Yes. Also when you go to toilet or something. So when you feel like this, only with this pain during your menstruation, go to a doctor. I think the best would be the gynecologist. And yeah, every doctor have to listen for your symptoms and then do something.
Is it this? I mean, I'd never really heard of it until recently. And I mean, obviously I don't have it or ever have a chance of getting it, but I'm just wondering, is it something that doctors are very much aware of with women? And if a patient presents with certain like pains, it will be assessed, or whether it can be something that can be missed, you know, like a healthcare professional might overlook it.
Yeah, normally now everybody comes a little bit aware of endometriosis, so now a lot of doctors know about it and take the patient for serious. But I know years ago, like me, when I was a student, I just learned from endometriosis from my exam and never realized it. And then I started the university clinic in the reproductive department, and then I get to know all these endometriosis patients and was shocked because I thought, oh my God, everybody have endometriosis, yeah? So now normally every doctor thinks about it. Also, not only the gynecologist, also the normal surgeon and everybody. And also the society becomes more aware. We have an endometriosis awareness day international. We have a lot of self-help groups now for patients who are suffering from endometriosis. So this is also an option when you have some symptoms, check out the internet. Maybe you can find also their proper clinic who is specialized on endometriosis who take care of you when you are not sure.
It sounds like a pretty heavy thing, like to.
It is really, because, and you always have to think about when we think of all these women taken not seriously because they have pain when they have the menstruation or have pain during normal activities. Is that such a big impact on their life? It's not only that they feel unwell, it had an impact on their partnership because maybe you become depressive or aggressive when you have all the time pain. It have an impact on your family, on your on your social life with friends, also on your job, because maybe you're several days in the month you are sick and cannot go to work or something. On everything, yeah. So that's why it's so important that everybody is really aware of this disease, and the woman feel that somebody listened to them and then doing something against. Yeah, and sometimes it's just help when you know what's going on in you, that you know, okay, I have endometriosis, I have this heavy pain one day a month. But I know why, and I can cope better with it. And doing not only taking synthetic and painkillers, doing other things. We know sports helps against pain, meditation, change my diet, change everything, do a better lifestyle. Sometimes these things helps to cope with this disease. And maybe that we don't know, because there's no study about it at the moment, that the endometriosis strings is destroyed by the better lifestyle.
Yeah. So just on that point, like, is it something that's studied quite a bit?
There's a lot of studies about these anti-hormone therapies. And now there's a new way. I read about a new study they have in a mice model about this endometriosis tissue. And we have these immune cells. One of them called the macrophages. They're eating like the waste in the body, and there are different types of macrophages in the body. And some are supporting the inflammation and some are destroying the inflammation. So at the moment, they try to see there must be some special macrophages just for this endometriosis tissue, both of them destroying and supporting. And they try to find something like a target therapy, like we know now from cancer therapy, really go just to these cells and destroy them. But this is, everything is on trials and scientific studies, so there are no results at the moment. But there's a lot of going on with the science on endometriosis.
Well, that's good. I mean, it's not something that's forgotten, which is great. So,
no, absolutely not.
No, I mean, I'm coming from the point of view of not knowing about it 5 minutes ago. So, you know.
Since it's so hard to get diagnosed with endometriosis, what if you go untreated? Like, will the tissue change into anything else in your body? Or like, other than the pain, would anything happen if you're not treated or if you don't go through an operation?
Yes. When you let it like it is, it's it could harm your other organs for the function because of these scars and adhesion, like the intestine function or the bladder function. It not will destroy these organs, but this is when you don't take these scars away, it could really be have an impact on these organs. And the other thing is, it's very, very rare, but we know that endometriosis maybe could change into ovarian cancer or could cause it. It's not really like it's a high number, and it's not really, we have some science work who say when endometriosis is untreated over years, maybe it could cause ovarian cancer. So
it's not definitive just yet whether that's the case, but it's something that might.
Yes, might be.
Needs further investigation and research.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Wow.
Is there any like hopeful therapies on the horizon or any signs that they could be getting close to understanding more about it as to why it happens?
I think the most important would be like, as I talked before, for the immune system. If we can find anything that's really related from our immune system, why some women get this, or a lot of women get this endometriosis, that we can find a therapy not to harm the body with an operation or give some anti-hormones to bring the women out of their natural hormone balance. So I hope they will find, or somebody will find something. It's about the immune system, that there are like defending cells attack this endometriosis, and that you can find a drug really attacks just endometriosis cells because of their special characteristics. But I think it will take a long way.
Yeah. So is it, in some ways, could it be considered as an autoimmune disease? Have some researchers looked at it from the point of view of it being an overactive immune cells in that area, or am I just...
Yeah, these are some signs try to check out, but we at the moment it seems not like this, like in other immune, because then you really have some immune cells out of work, because that's why an autoimmune disease happens. But at the endometriosis, they don't know if it's because of an imbalance of the immune system. So you can't say like it's an autoimmune disease at the moment.
Okay. Sarah, did you have anything you want to jump in with?
Since my understanding is that it has a lot to do with a woman's menstrual cycle and like how the mucosa builds up, and like retrograde menstruation is kind of what starts causing endometriosis. What about if you, a woman who goes into menopause, will this stop or will it continue to build up?
No, normally when you're in menopause, you have no hormones male. They will, the ovarian function stops and the endometriosis cannot grow anymore. But when you have these scars and adhesions before in your body, they will not go away. They will stay there. So when they cause pain, the pain will still be there. But for these endometriosis spots, they cannot grow anymore, so they would shrink and stop growing.
Okay. Well, just learning about it, are there any ways that we can assess ourselves? Like, just to the women listening to the podcast, just wondering if like they might themselves have endometriosis, are there ways we can self-diagnose or like kind of assess ourselves, knowing when we need to go to a gynecologist to get checked?
Yeah, I would really recommend that when you have these, because not every pain during your menstruation is endometriosis.
Yeah.
This is also not. But when you really suffer from pain and you're really knocked out when you have your menstruation, you should go to a doctor. And when you're insecure, feel not well, because maybe the doctor, you have the right opinion, he will not really listen. Maybe you can check out in the internet, because normally every country have this endometriosis. There's an international one called endometriosis.org, but normally in every country or there are these self-help groups for endometriosis, and you can check out where you can be like in these blogs or something, and can check out if the other women recommend a doctor or an endometriosis center where you can go and check yourself.
Okay.
But it makes, in my eyes, it's horrible for these women to suffer from this pain and never go to a doctor. Yeah, because we can really do something on endometriosis.
Yeah. Well, a lot of time menstrual pain is kind of looked over. It's like, okay, take a pill. It will go away soon. Well, that's from my experience.
Yes, yes, I know this, but and of course, sometimes you just feel, because this menstruation, some one day it's a little bit like normal to feel not well, but not really suffering from pain, quit school, quit job, whatever. Yeah, and of course, when you say you can cope with this, just have this one day pain or headache or whatever, and take a painkiller. Okay, it's also okay. Yeah, but go to a doctor, check up for endometriosis, and hopefully he can help you.
So it's really about just having the awareness that this exists.
Yes.
And hoping you're diagnosed before.
And maybe it helps a lot, really, when you know about it and your family knows about it and your friend or husband knows about it, why this happens, why this pain is there, why you feel always uncomfortable.
So recently I saw an article about a celebrity in America, Amy Schumer. She's a comedian. And from what I understood is she has been affected by endometriosis, I think a lot of her life. She went through multiple sessions to have a child. And after, I think about a year after she had her first child, she actually had her uterus removed because of endometriosis. And she's speaking out about it, and she's telling people about how she's been affected by it. I just wanted to understand, like, why did she have to have her uterus removed, like her reproductive parts, because of endometriosis? I didn't realize it could affect someone that much.
It can. And endometriosis in the uterus is a special form of this disease. I mentioned it at the beginning. So this mucosa could grow inside the uterus wall, and the uterus is a muscle. It's just a muscle. And then it calls adenomyosis. It's just another word for this endometriosis. And the uterus is bigger than normal. And it because when we have our normal menstruation, the uterus makes some muscle movements to bring the normal blood out. When you have this endometriosis called adenomyosis inside, it's really painful. And it's not like with this little spot on the peritoneum or on the ovaries. It's in the whole muscle wall of the uterus. You can't just cut a little bit out. And it's just really painful, and that's why she decided to remove her uterus, I think. Yeah, so this is also like a treatment you can do in these women, not to cut all the other spots out, also to remove the uterus. This is, so for this therapy, you take out the organ, which is full of endometriosis. And of course, when it's out, it cannot make any pain anymore. Yeah. But this, what I say, we don't know really the reason. So we treat not the really cause of endometriosis, to take the uterus or the other things out. We just take the tissue out, in this case, the uterus, who causes the pain.
So this is more like a last resort. It's not something a doctor would jump to immediately.
No, of course not. And when you want to become pregnant, of course, you cannot take out the uterus. But a lot of older women then decide, because they are don't want to get any painkillers and don't want to get any anti-hormone therapies. And not everybody who has endometriosis have it also in the uterus wall. This is a special form. You can have endometriosis just like little spots on the peritoneum, this inner skin, that really like 2 or 3 millimeter. And you can have this adenomyosis in the uterus wall. So you can have it in very different parts, not all together, maybe all combined. It's different in every woman. Yeah. And also what I want also want to say or want to add, when women have this really painful menstruation or have this pain and you check it really by a laparoscopy, by this operation I mentioned, by this diagnosis, sometimes you see just little spots, but these women have so many pain with it. Even if it's stage one or two, you can you have stages for endometriosis. And sometimes you have a woman come into the reproductive department, try to get pregnant, and you make this laparoscopy too, and then you see a stage four endometriosis. A lot of scars, everything, but you have no symptoms. Also possible. So endometriosis, I don't know how to say this in English. I could say in German, but it's like you have so many different kinds of it. Yeah, it's not like this. You have a broken leg, then you see the bone is broken and you have pain. It could be, have many, many different faces, maybe. This is best I can say.
So the staging that you mentioned, so it's 1 through 4?
Yeah, there's American Society for Reproductive Medicine. They make these stages, and it's just for the doctors how you treat it. When you have a stage one, you find maybe you make a laparoscopy, you just find little spots on the peritoneum. So like there's 2 millimeter, there's 3 millimeter, easy to cut it out, and maybe it never comes back. And the higher the stage, maybe then you have cysts in the ovarian, like this chocolate cyst, or you have this adenomyosis in the uterus. And when you have stage four, you have a lot of scars. The peritoneum is full of endometriosis. It clots together with the intestine or the bladder, because everything is nearby in the pelvic. Yeah. So it's the stages four described where it is, how big it is, and how deep it goes into the tissue. Yeah. Okay. Because sometimes, how to explain you, when it's just a little spot on the peritoneum, you can lift it up like your skin and cut it out. But sometimes it's go deeper, that it's not so easy as a surgeon to get it out without harming the other tissue, like muscle or something. Yeah.
And I'm just wondering if we've come to a close on this one. It's I can't think of any other questions.
Not that I can think.
Okay. Well, okay. Thank you for tuning in to the Visionary Health Podcast, where we explore the latest breakthroughs in health and wellness to help you achieve your best life. We hope that today's episode has inspired you to take action towards your health goals and provided you with valuable insights and knowledge. If you have any questions, comments, or suggestions for future episodes, please feel free to reach out to us via our website or social media channels. We value your feedback and would love to hear from you. Remember to subscribe to our podcast on your favorite platform so you don't miss out on any upcoming episodes. And if you enjoyed this episode, please leave us a review to help us reach more people. We believe that true health and wellness is about more than just the absence of disease. It's about optimizing your physical, mental, and emotional well-being to live your best life. So keep exploring, keep learning, and keep striving towards your vision of a healthier, happier you. Thank you again for listening to the Visionary Health Podcast. Until next time, stay healthy. Discover the secrets to a healthier and happier life by tuning into Niskwine Health on Instagram and Facebook. Our team is dedicated to bringing you the latest insights on functional health and well-being. Join us on this exciting journey and be a part of a growing community of like-minded individuals. Visit niskwinehealth.com to learn more about our mission and access a wealth of educational resources.